Now, every fortnight we catch up with what's happening at Waiheke Library, and Nio is with us this morning to give us the rundown. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, so what are you talking to us about this morning?
I've got a couple of book reviews, and actually I thought we might talk about a CD as well.
Which excellent.
Is
a,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that. I'm always in there getting CDs.
Yeah, well, that's right. We forget, I think, that the library actually has a fantastic music collection. You know, so we don't have to just talk about books.
Yeah. And actually, we had a DVD out the other day as well, which I need to return. Oops.
Oh, and lots of great graphic novels too, while we're on it.
I've been getting those out as well, actually, recently. I just picked one up the other day, and it was a nice change.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you reviewing for us?
Okay. So the first book today is, and forgive my pronunciation if I get this wrong. It's always funny when you read things and you need to
I've got a guest on later and I don't know how to say his last name.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Love that. Actually, you can normally Google that and find a sort of video recording of a lot of that sort of thing.
Excellent.
Anyway, La Rochelle's Road, which I think is French, actually, by Tanya Moore, which is a New Zealand writer. She actually splits her time living between the Banks Peninsula, which is near Lyttelton and near Christchurch, if you know the area, and West Auckland. So a little close to us, but then sort of far away as well.
Yep.
And so this is her first novel. She has won a few awards and that sort of thing, which I've forgotten to write down. But, you know, if you Google her, she seems pretty credentialed, lots of credentials there. So I read this one without sort of much expectations because I just wasn't really sure what it was about, actually. But it's a New Zealand historical fiction. It's set in, now, again, I didn't write this down before, but I think it's 1866. It's either that or 1880-something. And it's actually of a time when there was an earthquake then, and there were sort of tsunamis and that sort of thing. So it's actually very relevant to now, I think. For us, and it's very interesting. It follows a family that moved here from London, which I'm sure lots of families did, and they were looking for a different kind of life. They wanted to make a fortune for themselves, I guess, and they actually planned to plant grass seed, which I wasn't aware was really something that people did. But
yeah, I suppose. I mean, if you need, you're gonna have cows and sheep, you need to plant some.
Yeah.
Grass.
Yeah. So I guess they were going to sell the seed. You know, they weren't just growing grass and they're going to sell the grass. They were going to grow the grass to get the seed to sell the seed. So it's interesting in itself. And I always find novels from a historical period quite interesting because I like learning about things in a funner way rather than reading a non-fiction kind of history book.
Yeah.
It kind of bores me a little bit, actually. So for me, you know, learning a little bit about the way our ancestors lived was really interesting.
It's always interesting, isn't it? I mean, I was reading a novel the other day. It was kind of in the steampunk genre, and it was talking about the building of the Suez Canal, and there was something in there, and I thought, that can't be right. And, of course, you never know what's made up and what's real, you know,
because it was taking a lot of
actual events and using them and weaving them in.
Mm.
I checked it out later on, you know, got on Wikipedia and checked it out, and it was about when they built the Suez Canal to fire the steam engines for the digging. They used to burn mummies.
Wow.
Because the mummies were soaked in bitumen, so they used to buy them by the ton and burn these mummies.
You don't know.
Yeah, that's something I found out reading a non-fiction book. Yeah. I imagine there's no mummy burning in this.
Yeah, no mummy burning. But there is a bit of, you know, it seems like a pretty hard life, lots of death. I actually found it really interesting finding out how about sort of the way they baked their food and stuff. I know that sounds really mundane, but if you have very basic ingredients, how do you bake things? You don't do things like you do now. You don't go to the supermarket and, you know? So, yeah I found that really interesting. And the fact that they had to walk everywhere in probably horrible dresses and that sort of thing was pretty horrible. But it's a really interesting book. It's got quite a lot of holds on it in the library, but get in the queue because I think it's a winner for this year.
Yeah. I think if you do get in that queue, then when it finally comes about, it's kind of like a nice surprise, isn't it? It's like, oh, look, I've got something.
Yeah. I don't have to wait too long. Like, it's a queue, but it's not, you know, a queue like The Painted Caves by Jean.
I know, but people get them out for 4 weeks, don't they? Do people tend to hold on to the books for the whole 4 weeks and then go, oh, they're all due back? Or do they kind of finish them and then rush them back?
I think a lot of people do. Yeah. I think they keep them for the full 4 weeks because they get out a load of books and then they just keep them all.
And they have a regular once a month, they go to the library and get another load kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So if you finish your book, get it back.
Yeah, because there's people waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to read too.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the other books that I want to talk about was called The Diviner's Tale. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Rhiannon's talked about this one before because I think it is one of her favourites.
Right.
So we'll just do it very briefly. By Bradford Morrow. Now, this is not a New Zealand book. It's based on a character called Cassandra Brooks. What I liked most about it is just the fact that it touches on water divining, which I didn't know really. I kind of laughed about it, really. I was like, water divining, do people really do that? You know, I mean, what use is that?
Well, I know someone I work with claims that her husband can do it.
I mean, I've never tried it. Maybe it's a hidden talent I could try and, you know, find. But I think on Waiheke there'd be water everywhere. But
yeah, well, you could divine your way to the tap.
That's right. Yeah, does modern plumbing affect that? I think mostly water divining, you do that on a section of land where you're looking to, or you need to build a well or something more to do with farming.
It would be interesting to know, I mean, because, you know, there's bores all around the place. And it would be interesting to know if that, in the past, has been a way that people found out where to put down a bore.
Yeah, I think it's probably only very recently that we've had the better technology, or that's actually been at a more affordable price too, more available to the public, that we can use that sort of technology. Because otherwise you would, I think some people would have forked out for a diviner, you know. If you needed a well, you want to trust someone.
Oh, okay, I want to find out about that. And if you know about that, please get in touch. You can send us text, actually, which is 0218. 666-555 and let us know if there's any diviners out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so this is another novel around a diviner.
It is. So if you're interested in that sort of topic, that's interesting. I enjoyed it. It's a good read. It's got a little bit of mystery in there as well. So yeah, that's a good one. The CD that we want to talk about.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Suck It and See by the Arctic Monkeys.
Ah, okay.
Have you listened to that?
No, I haven't heard that one. It's their latest.
The new one. Yeah. So that's their fourth studio album, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about it because I've been following the Arctic Monkeys since they came out. I think they came out sort of just when I was in the music scene, and I really liked them. They were very popular, I think, with their first or second studio album for a little while. And then their third one, the last one they had, I think it was Humbug, came out, and they actually lost a lot of their fan base because it was a bit different.
It had a different producer, didn't it? Wasn't it produced by Josh Holmes from...
It probably was, actually, because
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, because it had that sort of feel to it. It's very sort of edgy, so I think it rubbed some people up the wrong way, even though they were pretty good fans of that kind of music. This one, I think, you know, if you lost it a little bit with that one, come back to them, because this album, I hate to say it, is a bit more mainstream. And it really suits them.
Now, tell me, I mean, I've got, what is it about the Arctic Monkeys? What, you know, what is it?
I've wondered that as well. I like the Killers, you know, I like sort of a bit of British pop, I guess. I mean, I think these guys are described as indie rock or something.
It's got to be the lyrics, isn't it, though, with the Arctic Monkeys?
I like how cheeky they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're really clever, and they say things that I don't understand, but I love it.
Yeah, it's very vernacular, I think, and reminiscent of the Kinks, which is very kind of, you know, lyric based, and there's a real story to be told in those lyrics. And that, I mean, that's, you know, of the Arctic Monkeys that I've heard, that's what's really appealed to me about them.
Yeah, and I think the big thing is that even though they're really clever, it always seems so simple what they're saying, you know. And, like, their lyrics, you know, they're clever, but it's not funny language. They're not trying to, you know, they do a little bit of rhyming and stuff, but it's probably more about rhythm with them, I think. And, yeah, so this album is great.
And I'll throw one in as well, which I borrowed from the library.
Mm.
The Vietnam War. It's a local band, and the self-titled album, The Vietnam War. It's an awful name for a band to Google, by the way. But that CD is in the library. It's just come in, and that, I'd highly recommend that. That's fantastic. It's kind of indie alt country.
Indie alt country. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of gentle indie rock, but with kind of a country touch, twang, and it's fantastic. Really, really great album.
Yeah. Oh, I might order that, and maybe we'll listen to it in the library, eh?
Yeah, you should. That's a highly recommended, that one. So just before we finish, I just want to go back to something. When I was in the music scene, you said.
Okay. When I was in the music scene, by that I mean when I actually bothered to figure out when stuff was coming out, and I actually kind of followed it, if that makes sense. I personally have never been, and I'm not a musician. Well, I'm a trained classical pianist.
Right.
But I wouldn't consider myself to be a musician as such. I think that was just a trap of my childhood, really.
Yeah. So when you were, you know, at the record shops buying magazines.
Yeah, probably a few years ago when I was a little bit younger. And, I mean, my brother's a musician, so he still plays in a band and that sort of thing. He plays in a heavy metal band, actually, which is a bit weird for me. But, you know, very supportive of that sort of thing. I actually do have a few friends. I've got friends with Katie and the Miss Tees and stuff who I don't think they've played on the island, but they are around Auckland and that sort of thing. So Katie Scott and I went to the Luke Thompson gig when Anika Moa, Luke Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
I just had no idea that Anika Moa was so funny.
She is hilarious, eh? She's really funny.
Yeah. So that was great. And Full House, I think, for that one as well.
Yeah, and is it? I mean, it's the island, I suppose, isn't it? It just makes it that much harder, and everything's late, and you can't get back. And
and yet I think that the island scene here is very, very good. I think we make. I've never been to us. I guess because if you think about it, Waiheke Island is technically a suburb of Auckland. For a suburb, the amount of events and things that happen on Waiheke Island is superb, absolutely amazing.
Mm.
You know, because I moved here in January, so I'm new to the island, and I've just been blown away, very impressed. I just think it's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Good.
All right. So just run us through the titles of those books again.
Right. Okay. So the first one was La Rochelle's Road, which is La Rochelle's Road, Tanya Moore. So Google that one. And then we talked about The Diviner's Tale by Bradford Morrow. And we also talked about Suck It and See, the new Arctic Monkeys CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you have a pretty good range of CDs in the library there, but all of them are available to get. You can book them online.
Absolutely, order them in. Yeah, yeah. Refresh our collection. We like it.
Right. So when I order in a CD, which I do all the time, and return it, you keep it here for a while, do you?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them
float.
Unless it's a
hold.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which is great. We really like that. Actually, the radio station has been fantastic.
Yeah, bringing new stuff in. Yeah. Well, it's good, you know, because it's a good way. I mean, and there's I follow the feed of new ones. I mean, every week there's an enormous, great big bunch of new CDs bought.
Yeah, I think you can sign up for a list, can't you?
Yeah, I'm not telling anyone how to do that. Because I get them first if no one else knows how to do it.
True, good point. Good point.
Yeah. Okay, but you can find that out on the library site if you're that way inclined. Mm. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure.
All right. And we'll talk to someone from the library again in a fortnight's time.
Yeah.
Cool. Cheers.
Cool.